You're listening to the podcast of Hillside Christian Fellowship. Hillside is a community of believers in Millersburg, Pennsylvania. We hope you are blessed and encouraged by this week's message.
Amen. So I got up a little bit early there. Love Pastor Steve. Oh, I'm so glad that you're joining online. And Pastor James, love you guys both. I am always excited to get an invitation to come here. So hopefully you guys are excited to see me too. If not, it doesn't matter because I'm already here. So I do believe strongly that I have a word from the Lord. But first, want to start off with happy post-Thanksgiving. How's everyone doing? Is everyone done eating leftovers? Or who believes today is the last day for leftovers? Last day, or was that yesterday? Maybe it was yesterday. So you at home, I hope that you enjoyed and had a wonderful Thanksgiving. And so what I really was sensing from the Lord today was he had a question for me during this whole series. So 2020 has been some kind of year. Would everyone agree? It's been some kind of year, right? And so I believe that the Lord has a specific word for each of us. Each of us, whether you're here or whether you're at home. And this is what I wanted to talk to you about today is how to rest in seclusion. How to rest in seclusion. There's two definitions I wanted to share with you first before we get started. Seclusion, when you look it up, it means a desolate place, hidden from view. It means a not cultivated place, away from others. There was another word that I mentioned in the title today, and that was the word rest. And rest means to recreate and to refresh. So what do you do when you're invited into a place of seclusion? I will tell you, when March hit, March 6th, 17th is the date I truly remember. It's the day we all came from my job. We came home. We were told that we needed to work from home. And so there was a lot of rush that was going on. A lot of us, who was going out to the grocery store that week? Like, everybody was going to the grocery store. What was the number one thing you were getting? Toilet paper. That's right. And so we were out rushing. We were buying things. And there was so much adrenaline that was happening. We didn't know what was going. It was uncharted territory. We didn't know what. We're going home, and we're going home to do what? The biggest thing we found out that week we were going home to do was to cook, and we cooked over and over and over again. I don't know about you, but I don't enjoy cooking. I mean, my family survives. I mean, we live. But I'm not a person who really enjoys or gets satisfaction out of cooking. Now, I love to eat, but not necessarily cooking. So we went into this place of cooking. There was a lot of adrenaline that was going. So the first week was good for me. The second and the third week was challenging for me. And I'll tell you why it was challenging. I'm a very communal person. I love people. I love to hug. I love to talk. That is who I am, right? And so all of a sudden, that was taken away from me. The person, my identity, who I thought I was, this lovely person, this life of the party, right? There's no party. There's no party to go to, right? And the only way I can communicate with people is through Zoom. And I'm very interactive, so it's kind of hard in Zoom how to be interactive. And who all knows, Zoom was a little hard because we had to move everything in the background. Who had to clean up some of the things that were in the background because you wanted it to look nice? Because everybody's house needed to look good now because of Zoom. What really happened to me in those weeks was very trying. One of the things that happened is my calendar got clear. Speaking engagements, meetings, places where I was used to going and leading, now it was clear. There was no agenda. So for a person who likes agendas and for a person who likes to be busy, it was a little challenging. How many of you in here thought those first couple of weeks were challenging? Or even now? It's challenging. And so my question today again is, what do you do when you're invited into a place of seclusion? What do you do when it becomes quiet? Some of us, we don't like quiet because quiet can sometimes mean reflection. It means you have to look at things the way that they are. Anyone like to be busy? right? You have those to-do lists. We like to be busy. So it was a change of lifestyle for me. It was a time of reflection. It was a time for me to determine what was I going to do with this unsurmountable amount of time that took weeks that turned into months. And now here we are already in November, getting ready to go in December. What do you do when you're invited into seclusion? We often talk about the great works of people in the Bible, or people that we just admire. We talk about their high mountain experiences. We talk about the accomplishments that were made. We talked about the children of Israel crossing the Red Sea. We talk about Goliath's head being cut off. We talk about those high mountain times, and those feel good, right? When you're in a movie, right, or when we used to go to the movies, right, the epitome of the movie was that high climax, right? It was when the good guy won, right? We love those high mountain experiences. But what do we do when we're in the valley? Does it shake us to our core where we don't have that high mountain experience? Do we forget that what it took to get to those high mountain experiences? I think that sometimes we discount what God does in the quiet places. We discount what he's doing. We discount what he's doing in us because we're like, I don't like this place. I don't like this place of quiet. I don't like this place of non-busyness. I want a full agenda, Lord. I need to constantly be working. And the Lord is like, I'm inviting you into a place of seclusion. And you're probably like, well, I ain't seen that in the Bible. I'm going to show you. Can you turn with me to Mark chapter 6? And I'm going to tell you, when I saw this verse a couple weeks ago, I was like, oh my gosh. Do you ever look at the scripture and you're like, he just keeps on surprising me over and over and over again? There is no way that we should ever lose the awe of God. What he speaks to us in one verse and one time in our life can totally be different the next time in our life. He speaks to us through his word. It's living. It brings encouragement. It can actually change the course of your life. One word from the Lord. And when I saw this verse, I was like, oh my goodness, God. Oh my goodness. We need to appreciate your sovereignty. What does sovereignty mean? It means that God's perfect will, it's his perfect will. Sometimes we don't understand his perfect will. Sometimes we don't understand. I've been through situations where I'm like, I don't know what is going on. But I'm going to trust you, God. Mark 6 and 30, the first verse 30 says this: the apostles gathered together with Jesus, and they reported to him all that they had done and taught. So the apostles are excited. They're like, okay, so let me tell you, we went to this church, we went here, people got healed, people got saved. Oh my goodness, Jesus, it was amazing. I'm so glad you sent us out 2 by 2. We had an awesome time. And let me tell you what he did. Let me tell you what I did. They were all excited about what had taken place. They were excited about the miracles they had done. They were excited by the works that they were doing in Jesus' name. Listen to Jesus' response. He says, and he said to them, come away by yourselves to a secluded place and rest a little while. For there were many people coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. And they went away in a boat to a secluded place by themselves. Later on in the scripture, it talks about how they went and they fed the many people. But I thought this was very interesting that Jesus gives a personal invitation to come away. He didn't say go away. He said come away, meaning that he's in that place. So in those places where you feel the most loneliest, you're not alone. It may be quiet, but you're not alone. It can be a personal invitation from Jesus himself saying, come away. So seclusion, what does that look like? It's a desolate place. It's hidden from view. It's not cultivated. What are some examples of what hidden places could be like? Tell me if this resonates with you. It's in between seasons. Have you ever been in between seasons? Like you've had a mountaintop and now you're feeling like blah, right? In between seasons. Maybe it's a place of not understanding. There doesn't seem like there's a clear path. Or here's the word that I believe I've been experiencing. The word is transition. It's a time of reflection. But it's sometimes, and this is the part where I think it's uncomfortable for us, it appears that there's no growth. Sometimes in the places of seclusion. So let's be honest, who likes those places? Anyone? Do I see a hand? None. Anyone at home? If you like being secluded, type that in the chat. Right here, I could say, that's not a place that we would choose to go to. But why would Jesus say that? Why would Jesus give this personal invitation to his disciples? Why wouldn't he just say, guys, good job, high five, fist bumps, you guys are turning the world upside down. Why didn't he do that? Because who knows, right? I would want that. Anyone else? So you just came back and you a whole bunch of people got saved. Let's just be honest here. Now, I know we're all Christians, but let's be honest. If you did all this work, right, and you saw these miracles and you come to Jesus and you're like, did you see? But wait, do you know what we just did? And he says, come away. He didn't give them a, you're doing an awesome job. You're doing an amazing job. He said, come away. Why would Jesus say, come away? And it says later on in that verse is that you haven't even had time to eat. The pressures, what is tugging on us, what is being expected on us, we haven't even had time to eat. And so I was thinking about that. Physically so, they didn't have time to eat, but what did that look like spiritually so? There could be lots of times when we're doing work, and we could be doing some really great work for the Lord. But then there's times when Jesus is like, come on, I need you to reflect. I need you to understand the why of what you're doing. Not just what you're doing and, wow, this is so great, but the why behind it. I need to make sure that there's always this personal connection, that there's this source that you always have with me. Don't get so caught up in the work that you do that you forget the great I am. Don't forget in all of the work and all of the busyness that you do that you don't come to spend time with me. And I'm talking about quality time. When was the last time that we just said, God, what's on your mind? Or are we constantly saying, God, this is what I need. I need this, this, this. We'll use it like an agenda, a to-do list. Does anyone do honey to-do list? Honey, do list here? No? One? No, one. Only one couple does it, right? I think sometimes we do that for the Lord, though. We may make our God list. These are the things that we want, right? But when you come into a place of seclusion, when you come away with him into a personal space, your posture, I love, Todd, how you talked about your posture. Your posture should be, God, what is on your mind? What is on your heart? Let me pray that. Let me pray that. So here he says, come away. There's many competing voices every single day for our attention, for our focus. And so we have to make sure that we are deliberate in guarding that space that we have with the Lord. It is so easy to get distracted and just people pulling on you and pushing on you and just demands of life that it can be very easy to get so distracted that we lose our personal time. Or we discount the secluded time. We discount the time where he's saying, come away with me. So again, what do you do when you've been invited to that place? Some of us don't willingly want to go there. And so the word invitation sounds a little weird to you. You may think, does Jesus always invite us? Sometimes he does. But has anybody ever been pushed into a place of seclusion? Yeah. Sometimes situations in life will push us into a place where we're like, I didn't accept that invitation. You didn't get an RSVP from me. But God is at work. We have to remember, again, I said the sovereignty of God. God has the ability to use every single season. There is nothing ever wasted. We may not understand. You may not, you know, there are people who will ask me, well, why did God allow this or why this or, you know, why did I get sick or why did I lose my job or why? I will be honest. I am the first person to say this. I do not know all the answers. Just because I'm preaching, just because I study his word doesn't mean I know everything about the mind of Christ. And if you find someone who they say they do, I'd be very careful. But I live in the awe of him. Even when I don't understand, even when I'll even use this word, even when I don't agree, I stand in the awe in the presence of a mighty God. So when he invites us to these secluded places, there's a purpose and there is a reason. So let's talk about two people in particular. Joseph. Who remembers the story of Joseph? Joseph in the Bible had lots of opposition. It was like drama upon drama upon drama. Like there should be like a reality show, like a Joseph reality show. I think we would all watch it. So here we have Joseph, who is hated by the people who should love him the most, his family. Right? These are the people who should treat you well, who should love you. And when you have a dream, these are the people who are supposed to say, that's right, you can do it. That's what we expect of family. What do you do when your family doesn't even act like family? Here we have Joseph in a broken family, broken, filled with jealousy to the point the jealousy was so bad. Some of you may think, like, my family's broken. No. Have your brothers and sisters thrown you into a pit? Like a real one. I mean, they may have beat you up or, you know what I mean? But have they thrown you into a pit wishing that you were dead? This is the account of Joseph. His brothers filled with jealousy, rage, and anger. Joseph probably trying to prove himself of who he is, but yet still hated by the people who were called to support and to love him. Secluded places. Sure, that pit didn't feel well. Then after that, there's a long story about Joseph. And if you haven't read it, you need to go to Genesis and make sure that you read it because it's so good. Then Joseph finds himself in a situation where he's falsely accused of a crime that he didn't commit. And he's thrown into jail. Secluded place. Probably felt isolated. Probably felt alone. But was he alone? No. God was with him. In the word, it says that he will never leave you nor forsake you. You look at Joseph's life, it may have looked like on the surface that he was alone. It may have looked like that there was nothing that could be done. But I tell you that God was in the midst in every purpose and every season of Joseph's life. So what happened in these places of seclusion? What happened to Joseph? Guess what? Joseph grew in maturity. Joseph grew in wisdom. He grew in favor. All of that happened in seclusion. What some people may have looked at his situation and be like, oh, poor Joseph. What God was doing was something deep. It was rooted. Just like even those secluded places that Joseph experienced, God was preparing him for a new position. Could it be where you are that God is preparing you for the next position? Could it so be that what he's doing is undercover and underground, and just because someone else doesn't see it, that does not mean God's not moving and God's not working? He grew in maturity. He grew in wisdom. He grew in favor. And then he became second in command. That was Joseph. What did Jesus do in seclusion? Matthew chapter 4, if you have your Bibles. Matthew 4, 1 through 15. I won't read all of this, but verse 4 says, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness. Another invitation. Again, don't discount the quiet seasons in your life. Don't look so urgently to what is the mountain experience that you lose out on what God is doing. Don't focus so much on, I need to be here at the top, and if I'm not at the top, then God's not with me. That is a lie from the enemy. Again, like I said, he will never leave you nor forsake you. And we know that Jesus was tempted in this place, right? What is the temptation that we sometimes experience when we're in seclusion? The first one is this: the enemy will come and tempt you and say, give up. He will tell you this, it's not worth it. Or he'll tell you, you're not worth it. But what Jesus did when he was tempted, he used the written word of God. His example to us when he said, it is written. So no matter when you're in that place and you feel like you're alone, again, you're not, but your emotions will tell you something else. And I will tell you this, don't be led by your emotions because they will fail you every single time. I'm not going to say emotions aren't bad because they're triggered. They tell us how we're feeling or what's going on, but you can't be led by them. You don't make decisions based on how you feel. There's lots of people who've made those. Well, I was in love with him, then I fell out of love with him. I was in love with her, then I fell out of love with her, right? Don't be led by your emotions, but use the word of God. It is written. This is what God says about me. This is what God says about my situation. I am the head and not the tail. I'm more than a conqueror. No matter what situation I face, no matter what I go through, the Lord says, I'm always going to be with you. So you don't need to be led by what you see or be led by what you feel. You're led by the word of God. So over and over again, Jesus used the written word of God. And then later on in the scripture, it talks about that he was refreshed. That he received rest. He was refreshed. You remember I talked to you about, I said, what does rest looks like? Rest looks like rest. What does rest look like? It looks like refreshment. It's not a posture of sleep. It's not a posture of inactivity. It's the posture of being refreshed. What else did Jesus do in seclusion? Mark 1, 35 through 39 says this. And in the early morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went away to a secluded place and prayed there for a time. Jesus valued the time that he had with the Father. That was the fuel for his ministry. If Jesus had to step away, if Jesus had to go to a secluded place to pray, why do we think we need to do anything less? I love how Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father doing. Well, how can you see what God is doing if we don't spend quality time with him? If we don't ask him, what's on your heart? What's on your mind, God? Who do you want me to pray for? Right? What do you want me to say? What is your will in this situation? For so many times, I think that we're praying our own will. We're praying our own wants and desires. And the Lord is like, ask me what I want. Ask me what I desire. And guess what? He will show you. Imagine this. Imagine in the morning if you went to God and said, what's on tap for you today? And then imagine you praying into that. You are joining with heaven. There's nothing that can stop you. There's nothing that can stop you because you have all of heaven backing you up. But the first thing to do is you go to the Father and you say, God, this is quality time and this is your time. That's what it is. This is your time. What do you want me to do? What do you want me to say? He received direction. So what do we do when we're invited? The first one is this. Write this down. Value and prioritize your time with God. value and prioritize your time with God. Now, I'm not saying that you make this religious and you say, okay, well, I got to get up every morning at 5 a.m., right? I'm not saying that, because our relationships may look a little different with the Lord. Some people may say, I pray at night, or some people say, I pray on the way to work, or some people say, I pray at this time. I'm not giving you a formula on how to do it, but I'm telling you that we need to prioritize and value our time with God. Trust and let him guide you. Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I was doing some study on that text, right? That's a familiar passage that some of us probably grew up, may have known, we're in Sunday school, you know? And when I looked at that scripture and I was studying it, one of the words that so jumped out at me is, the Lord will not lead me into failure. The Lord will not lead you into failure. So even in places that you don't understand, you can still trust him, because he's not going to lead you into a bad place. He's not going to lead you into a place where you don't win with him. It's always going to be successful. It may look a little different than what you thought, but he will never lead you into failure. Here's another thing when you've been invited into a place of seclusion, even if you didn't RSVP. Grow. Let your roots grow deep and strong. Don't give in and be like, oh my goodness, I can't believe I'm walking through this. No. This is what I want you to remember about Lakita. When you feel that coming on, because we all will have that opportunity for self-pity. We all have. I've been there. And I've had to preach to myself. I've had to have preacher Lakita tell Lakita what to do. And that's what I want to encourage you guys. I want you to all turn into bona fide preachers, like feisty ones, right? The ones that will charge you and yell and scream at you. That's what I want you to do. And I want you to do that to yourselves. So when you feel that self-pity coming on, I want you to go find a mirror somewhere. I don't care where it is. And you need to tell yourself, get it together. I'm being serious. Tell yourself, get it together. You tell your, and this is a license, this is what you all got to say. Is everybody ready? Say, get it together. Okay. Now, I want you to say it a little bit stronger than that when you're looking in the mirror, but I know you don't want to do that here. At home, say to yourself, get it together. And that's what you need to do, because you need to know who you are. I'm a child of the King. I don't have to walk around in self-pity. You don't have to walk around in self-pity. You don't have to walk around and live in a place of discouragement. I'm not saying that discouragement won't come, because it will. It will come knocking at your door. And for some seasons, it'll be every day, discouragement will come knocking at your door. But you are more powerful than you know that you are. And the reason why you're powerful, it's not because of your own strength. It's not because of where you went to school. It's not because of how long you've been saved. It's not none of that. It is because the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords redeemed you, saved you from your sins. And because of that, he sits on the right hand of the Father. You are seated with him. That is why you can tell discouragement, you came to the wrong house. That's what you have to do. No, we won't let self-doubt and negativity come to live in our house. Sometimes we allow these things and these feelings to come, and we actually make room for it in our house. We give it the guest room. We make room. We put a plant in there. And then we go visit it. From time to time, we go and visit it. We engage in conversation with it. No. You tell yourself no. I'm not going to have a conversation with discouragement. I'm not going to have a conversation with the enemy. No, my conversations are with the Lord. And then when he does try to come at me, I'm going to use the written word of God. I'm going to use the word of God to come against him. So when you feel discouraged, and guess what? You all will. Right? I think that's probably the challenge as believers that sometimes we can face is when we're not on that mountain experience, then we feel like we're less of. We feel like we're not walking in faith because here comes discouragement or because here comes doubt. And so it's this like this thing where we can't tell people that we're going through or we're suffering, right? So someone asks you, how you doing? I'm blessed. Knowing that you're broken and you're hurting on the inside. No. Tell your friend, tell your brother, tell your sister, hey, I'm walking through this. Let them encourage you. Don't try to hold on to burdens all by yourself. You were never meant to. What were we meant to carry? I said this to a group not too long ago. I'd said that we have the infrastructure to carry the purpose of God in our lives. Whatever he's called you to do, whatever he's purposed for you to do, that even before you were born, he said, I need this in the earth at this specific time. And then he crafted you together, right? It's not a lot to do with your mom and dad. Some, but not a whole bunch, right? And so what happens is there's a purpose, there's a mantle, there is an agenda, a God agenda that God has for your life. And he's given you the ability to carry that, no matter the size of that. But what he hasn't given us the ability to do is to carry things that don't belong to us. We were never meant to carry shame. We were never meant to carry guilt. We were never meant to carry those. We were meant to carry the mantle, the purpose of God for our lives. And the Lord is saying, I want you to take those other things that you carry, cast those away. Give those to him. Trade. Let's do a trade. That's what the Lord is saying. You have the infrastructure to carry the purpose of God in your life. So grow. It's not inactivity. Rest is not inactivity. You can grow. What grows through this process? Your character. Who you are actually comes out in the places of silence. And if you don't like who you are, ask God to help you change it. If you identify something and you're like, ooh, I have an anger issue. Or, hey, I don't love right in this area. Or I've identified, I don't like this. Or I have an attitude that's not Christ-like. Guess what? In those seasons, that's the perfect time to say, God, help me change my heart. Some of us need a heart surgery. Some of us do. Some of us have unforgiveness we've been living with. Unforgiveness, whether it's people in our family or friends or just that we're carrying. And the Lord's like, I want to deal with this. I want to deal with this. Not to make you feel so uncomfortable that you're like, this is the worst thing ever. He wants to deal with this so you can live free, so you can be free. Oh, it feels good to live free. It feels good to not have someone in your life or that you're thinking about that you're constantly not forgiving. The Lord says, grow in the secluded place. Don't give in to the temptation of giving up. Remember what I said earlier. You preach to yourself. And then when you get really good at that, then you go preach to other people. And you tell them, that's not who you are. Self-pity, mm-mm. That's not who you are. Doubt and unbelief, mm-mm, that's not who you are. Let me tell you who you are. You are a son of a king. Your dad is rich. He's rich in all things. You need wisdom, he'll give it to you. You need direction, he'll give it to you. You don't know which way to go, he will light up your path. He will light up your path. Here's the thing, though. He may not show you 50 steps out, but I guarantee you he'll show you the next step. That's one of the seasons I've been in, is I don't know what it all looks like far out, but I tell you, he's lighting up this next step. And then I take that next step. You know what? He's lighting up the next step, then I take the next step. That is trust. That is the place that he wants us to come to. And that's what happens when you're in these secluded places is you have to trust. Well, you don't have to because you could not trust. But you know what I mean, right? Let him light up. Acknowledge the path that he is lighting up for you. And I want to say this. A secluded place is not a bad place, guys. It's a restful place. So some of you, if you could stand with me, I just want to pray over some of you. Today, some of you may be in a secluded place, right? You may be like, oh, you just don't know what I've been walking through or what I've been going through. And at home, you could be like, you just don't know what I've been experiencing, Lakita. This has been a hard season. This has been a rough season. And guess what? It has. It has been rough this year in so many ways. But don't discount what God is doing. He's still God. He's still mighty. He's still on the throne. He still has good things planned in store for you. Your purpose is not dismissed because of 2020. A lot of us came into the year thinking like, woo, this is going to be the best year ever. 2020, what? Vision. Right? And people are like, oh my goodness, I will tell you, I'm seeing clearer. I am. Anybody else feeling it? I see clear. And I'm, you know what I'm saying? Thank you, God. Do we thank him in every season? Do we thank him in the unknown times as much as we thank him in those high mountain times? So this message may sound a little weird. You're like, but I like the high mountains. And you know, we talk about being on the high mountain. Yes. But I want you to also embrace the quiet times. Embrace the times when Jesus is like, I want you to come away with me. I want you to spend time with me. And what could that look like? That could look like days. It could look like weeks. And let's be honest. Some seasons, it could be months. But he's doing something. It's not inactivity. So don't get discouraged when you're walking in that place. Don't think that you're less than when you see everybody else on their mountaintop experience and they're like, oh, Jesus, Lord, and he blessed me with this, and I got this, and I got this. And you're looking at yourself and you're looking at your spouse or your family or your cat or your dog. And you're like, this is what we got. No, you embrace that. You preach to yourself and say, God is doing something. He is doing something. It's okay if you don't understand. It's okay if you don't see it all one picture. One of the things I've done is I've come to this balance place in my spiritual walk. And I think it's a sign of maturity, praise the Lord. But that I look at, because you can see one scripture and it could say, oh, mountaintop, right? And then you can see another scripture that says, join in his suffering. You're like, well, which one do I do? Right? What am I supposed to? I'm more than a conqueror, right? But then you're like, my will and suffering? Okay, so which one do I do? Do I choose? Do I pick one or the other? No. You don't pick one or the other. You ask God, what's your perfect will? There are those times where you will be on the mountaintop and he'll say, declare and proclaim. And then there will be other times where he invites you in. And that's the flexibility of being a believer, that we don't get stuck in a certain season. But we just trust in God's will. We trust in his sovereignty. We trust in his protection. We trust that he's God. And we may not always understand. So I'm going to ask that each of you just posture with your hands out and close your eyes. And I just want to pray for each and every one of you. God, we thank you. God, we thank you for every single season. Because in due season, in due time, we will reap. God, I ask that you go deep down in my brothers and sisters, God, that you do a mighty work in them. A mighty work. Even though some people may not see, God, what you're doing, God, we know that you are moving. We know that you're growing us. We know that you're maturing us. We know that you're strengthening us. And God, even in these places of rest, we know that you are refreshing us. So God, we say yes to refreshing. We say yes to rest. God, I bless every single person that's here. And we just tell discouragement and bondage and burden to go now in Jesus' name. It has no place in our life. We declare that we evict those things that we have allowed to live in our homes, live in our minds, God. We evict them out in Jesus' name, and we say they have no place. And it's replaced with your joy. It's replaced with your love. It's replaced with forgiveness. It's replaced with you. So God, we say thank you in every season. We say that you're teaching us in every season. And we say that we're growing in every season. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Blessings. Todd.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. For more information on the ministry of Hillside Christian Fellowship, go to our website at www.hillsidechristian.org.